Tonight we're going to be continuing, actually, for those of you who have been with us through Advent, where we've been looking at the gifts of Christmas. And we've looked at a lot of things that all really build to tonight and really focusing on Jesus. But we looked at the gift of grace and the fact that we can't earn God's love. We can't earn anything that he gives us. Everything that we receive from God's hand, including his salvation, including Christ himself, is a gift of grace. We looked at the gift of expectancy, of not only having expectancy of meeting with God and looking forward to Christ's return, but living with that expectation of looking for God's presence and looking for God's voice in our life. We've also looked at, last week we looked at the issue of reconciliation and the fact that Christ made the way for us to be restored to relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, whether we look, we could make a lot longer list of all the things that Christ has secured for us. And yet, those are the few that we've looked at through this series. And yet, everything comes back to remembering that it all comes down to Jesus. And that the gift of Jesus himself is what makes it possible for us to receive the gift of grace and the gift of reconciliation. This Sunday, if you come back, we're going to look at the gift of adoption and the fact that God adopts us to be one of his own. All that God has done for us in Christ comes down to us celebrating the gift of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to be watching a brief clip. Again, we've been helped out with the Skit Guys through this series. Tonight, as we watch this clip, I just want to encourage you to be reflecting on your own life. I think the video clip's pretty obvious, but we're going to watch the clip and just share a few thoughts tonight about really what the implications are for our life about receiving the gift of Jesus.
Force open sleighs, are you so busy making Christmas bread when you run your own cupcake business? Well, every year I like to mix things up a little bit and make an exception for these beauties. So, why Christmas bread? Well, I have been told that my Christmas bread is the confectionery manifestation of heaven. Does that sound briny? I don't mean for it to. It's just what I've been told. Baking contest blue ribbons don't lie. Now, there is one thing that I will never, mark my words, never make in my cupcake shop, for it is a horrible, treacherous Christmas abomination. Fruitcake. I mean, first of all, just no. Second of all, no. I mean, does it even need to be said? You either want fruit or cake. I personally do not want both at the same time. I mean, you might as well make a drink called orange toothpaste juice. Anywho, growing up, I learned the art of baking from my mama. She would make loaves of this very bread and then wrap them up in beautiful boxes that stacked as high as our Christmas tree. And then I'd get to help her deliver them all over our neighborhood. People love to see her coming. Especially our neighbor, Miss June, sweetest little old lady, liked to talk to mailboxes. Now, when baking for others, my mama taught me that you pray for each person or family as you bake. I know, bread is probably not going to change somebody's life forever, but who knows, right? After all, big things can come from really little places. Like my Aunt Gert, big hair, tiny woman, drove a semi-truck till she was 82 years old. If you looked in your rearview mirror, you'd just see two knuckles and a bouffant. Anywho, like Bethlehem, for instance, nobody thought a thing about that little old place until Jesus came and just blew the doors right off. Oh, and listen to this. Now, I may be denser than Papa's peanut brittle, but I learned in church that there are actually two Bethlehems in Israel. Now, the one where Jesus was born, the one in the south, is called Bethlehem Ephrathah. Bethlehem means house of bread, and the word Ephrathah means fruitful. So, altogether, the place where Jesus was born is the fruitful house of bread. Now, this is not a biblical reference to fruitcake. This is fruit bread. There is a difference. Fruitcake is better suited to anchor a boat than to usher in the birth of a king. Isn't that great? Little old Bethlehem, chosen to be the place where God's Son, the biggest gift in a tiny body, would draw his very first human breath. What a perfect recipe for mankind. The bread of life. So let's not get all caught up in the holly jolliness of gift giving without really receiving the main gift. Or the main ingredient. Can you imagine forgetting the main ingredient? I shudder to think of it. Well, like this sugar here. Well, if I were to forget the sugar, then we would have a Christmas calamity on our hands. Well, without the sugar, I'll be a snowflake in July. It seems that I have substituted the salt for the sugar all this time. Oh, holy handbells. I have made something worse than fruitcake.
And just so you know, the church has a free gift of fruitcake for each of you on your way out. Actually, that's not true, but I don't think you're that disappointed, though. You know, the video obviously uses humor to remind us about the importance of even what might seem insignificant. Sugar, salt, look kind of the same. I know sometimes with the, I'm not a big baker, but I know sometimes if you forget that little thing, baking soda, to the ingredient, or there's some one little ingredient that you miss can totally mess up the entire batch, can mess up the entire experience of what you're preparing. But you know, we were reminded in this video the importance of what something small, what appears to be insignificant, the difference that it can make. And we're also, in her telling the story of Bethlehem and really beginning to tell the story of Jesus and Jesus coming to this little insignificant town of Bethlehem, we're reminded of the fact that we need to be cautious of overlooking the significance of who Jesus is. Jesus, in the celebration of Christmas, is an opportunity for us to remember the significance of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for each one of us. You know, one of the things we talk a lot about is not forgetting Christ in Christmas. And she referenced that a little bit of, you know, we can get caught up in the celebration, we can get caught up in all the activity, and we can miss out on really just pausing to remember and to celebrate Christ. And yet, there's more than that. Really understanding the significance of Jesus is more than just making sure Christ is at the center of our Christmas and our celebration. But really, it's an issue of examining our lives and asking, is Christ at the center of our lives? When we think about missing ingredients, we have to ask ourselves, have we potentially missed Christ in our celebration of Christmas? And have we potentially missed Christ at the heart and foundation of our lives? Tonight, as we look briefly and just think about the fact that God sent Christ in a way that appeared insignificant and yet is not only significant but has the power to transform our hearts and our lives, I just want us to think about this simple truth, that what appeared to be an insignificant child born to an insignificant couple in an insignificant town was the Savior of the world and the Lord of all. Think about that. We're going to break that down a little bit. What appeared to be an insignificant child, just one simple child, born to an insignificant couple, poor family, no pedigree, no resume, in an insignificant town in Bethlehem, this small village, that this child was the Savior of the world and the Lord of all. The video made reference to the fact that Bethlehem would be viewed by many as an insignificant place. And yet, if you look at Matthew 2, verses 1 through 6, this is actually following Jesus' birth when the wise men come looking for Jesus. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 6 says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people, Israel." That promise is one of many promises in the Old Testament that point to who Jesus is. And in here, it's not only pointing to Jesus, but it's giving us the place of where Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, and our Lord would be born. And this comes from Micah 5:2, that says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler." Or be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. You know, that prophecy was written 700 years before Christ was born. And it's amazing to me that Herod had to gather the scribes and the scholars to look to see where would the Messiah. They knew the prophecies were there, but they had to dig, they had to look. And it probably was a little more troubling because it was Bethlehem. It wasn't Jerusalem. Wasn't some place that they would have expected the Messiah to come. It was a small, insignificant town. In this small, insignificant place of Bethlehem, a king is born. You know, just to put this into perspective, let's think for a second. Every few years, one of the things that makes the news is when the Olympic Committee is trying to make a decision about where the Olympics are going to be held. Or if you're a soccer fan, every few years it's where the World Cup is going to be held. But you know that there's a lot of energy and time going into that decision, and cities make the best case for why they should host the Olympics. Now imagine if Warren was selected for the next Winter Olympics. Why are you laughing? Maybe I say Sheffield, Sugar Grove. But you know. It wouldn't compute. Obviously, we don't have the resources. It's not significant in the sense of size or population, or we don't have the resources to handle that. That's another discussion. But that concept, you can grasp that idea of a place that would not necessarily ever come part of that conversation and be considered, was given the privilege to be the home, be the place for God's Son to come to this earth and to be born. What appeared to be an insignificant child was born in an insignificant place. But we know that if we look at the prophecies and we look at what the scripture says about who this Jesus is, we know that this is no insignificant child. That this child, and the reason we even come to celebrate today, this child, we know, was not only a king who had come, but he was the Savior and the Messiah. Luke 2, verses 9 through 12, this is part of what Don read earlier. Says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" You know, when you look at that scripture, I almost see things on two different sides of the equation here. You have the promise of good news, of great joy, and that it's great joy that's going to be for all people. And that news is that there is a Savior, Christ, the Lord. Three titles they're given. The Savior, one who would come to rescue us. The Messiah, the Anointed One, God's Chosen One, and Lord, the one that each one of us will at some point have to come to a place to recognize Him as Lord in our life and bow our hearts and our lives, our knees, our hearts and our lives before Him. We have the good news of great joy that a Savior, Christ, the Lord, is to be born. But you have the picture of this poor child, frail child, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Because there was no room. There was no room. They again, insignificant couple in what appears to be a very poor entry into this world, God gives us a picture of I believe, how God consistently works. He likes to surprise us, and he often chooses the humble and chooses the meek to accomplish his purposes. And no, there's no greater example of that than in looking at the way in which God entered this earth. Jesus came as an infant. And no one walking through Bethlehem that evening, they would have thought it was odd that this couple would have been sleeping, spending the night in the stables. They would have thought it was odd that they had actually given birth. But I don't think anyone would have said, yeah, that must be a very special, very important child. And yet we gather here this evening because we know that that insignificant child, born of that insignificant couple in that insignificant town, was the Savior and the Lord of all. You know, to make that real to us again, I want you to think. I don't believe Warren has. Does Warren have a maternity ward? I meant to ask someone this. They do? Okay, good. I was hoping, because that would be a long drive. Not that I'm planning anything. But imagine tonight, if we were to get up and walk down to the maternity ward at Warren General and just pick out a couple, just any couple, just an ordinary couple, and try to look at a newborn baby and think, and then think of all the problems in the world, all the need that there is in the world, and think, that one child is going to make a difference. That one child is going to turn the world upside down. You know, I firmly believe every child has the potential of making an impact. Every child has the potential of making a difference in the world. And yet, when you take the idea of this child that might be down here at Warren General this evening and think, what difference could that one child make? It gives us that picture of what it must be like to think of those who maybe witnessed, the shepherds who came. They heard the news. They had the witness of the angels. They knew that this was no ordinary child when they came and found Jesus just as the angels described him, in the manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. We celebrate the fact that Jesus was no ordinary child. What appeared to be an insignificant child born to an insignificant couple in an insignificant town was the Savior of the world and was Lord of all. So if we understand that Jesus came, he came to save us. He came to rescue us from our sin. He came to restore us to relationship with God. Everything we've talked about in recent weeks about God's grace and the fact that God sent Jesus so that we could be restored to relationship with our Heavenly Father. Everything of what Christ does as Savior is part of what we celebrate, but we also celebrate the fact that he is also Lord. We read in the story of Herod and the wise men that they were looking not only for a child, they were looking for a king who was born. We can agree if we really look at the New Testament, look at the story, and if you're here tonight, I would say that to some level you agree that Jesus was no ordinary child. And we celebrate as followers of Christ that Jesus was the Son of God, God who had come in the flesh. We celebrate the fact that Jesus was God's plan for each one of us, God's plan for humanity to be restored to relationship with him. He is no ordinary child. He is significant. The question I have for us as we wrap up this evening is, if Jesus is significant, what significant difference has he made in your life? Have you embraced not just the truth of who Jesus is, but have you allowed that truth to penetrate your hearts, penetrate your lives, penetrate into your family, and how you live your life? Is it making a difference? You know, that picture of the missing ingredient in our bread or having the wrong ingredient. I remember years ago when I was a kid, I made Kool-Aid and made the salt sugar substitution. And my mom was not real happy. But you can mix things or you can forget an ingredient. That picture, when you take that spiritually to understand of looking who Jesus is and do we really understand who Jesus is and what he has done for us, I want to ask you, is Jesus missing in your life or in your family life as you celebrate this Christmas? or when you look beyond this Christmas and look throughout your life and your workplace and look at your time with your family and the challenges that you're facing in life and every aspect of your life, is Jesus making a significant impact in your life? Is he possibly the missing ingredient in your life that's preventing you from experiencing that full and abundant life that Jesus promised? The only response that I have to say for each one of us is if we really want Jesus to make that type of an impact in us, is that we not only need to come to a place of understanding Jesus as Savior, but we have to also then embrace him as Lord. Because when we embrace him as Lord, he begins to come in and permeate every aspect of our life. And it's like we're mixing that bread. When you put the ingredients in, I mean, have you ever had something where you mixed and it wasn't mixed well? And you could taste the things that weren't mixed well? It's not a pleasant experience. If you put the most important ingredient in the batch and mix it together, it has to be mixed so that it can have its full effect on the whole batch. And that's how it is in how we come to Christ and embrace him, put our trust in Jesus as Savior, but also then embrace him as the Lord of our lives. As we begin to surrender every aspect of our life, and it gives Jesus the opportunity to come in and to reign in us and to live in us and through us. We have to be willing to surrender to every aspect of our life to Christ and his control so that Jesus can come in and change us. Jesus can come in and make us more and more like him. Today, as we close, and I'm going to ask Bonnie to come in a moment. She's got a song, and I've heard her this week, even practicing it. And it raises the question of who Jesus really is to us. And it addresses this issue very significantly of have we come to that place that we not only celebrate Jesus as Savior, but that we've come to a place that we've embraced Jesus as Lord. That we're letting him permeate every aspect of our life, every aspect of our being, so that he can change us from the inside out. He can make an impact and change our families. He can change every part of our lives as we surrender ourselves fully to him. I'm going to offer a prayer and invite Bonnie to come. And as she starts singing, I almost hesitate. I want you to really reflect on these questions and reflect on the message. But as she's singing, we're going to start lighting the candle. I'm going to light the first candle off of the Christ candle, which is a picture of Christ and his presence. And as we pass the candle and the light of Christ's presence to one another tonight, I just encourage you to reflect upon your own life and ask, is Jesus really Lord? Have you claimed him as Lord, not just with your words, but in your actions? Have you surrendered fully to him? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here this evening and to be reminded of the most precious gift of your Son, Jesus. Lord, what an incredible sight to see this frail child, these young parents. Lord, to look upon this child and to be in the place of the angels who, had it not been for the angels' announcement of your birth, would not have thought anything of the birth of this child, but they knew who was in that manger. Lord, I just pray that this evening that we would not only embrace the reality of who Jesus is and the significance of who Jesus is in our lives, but Lord, may we invite him to be present in every aspect of our lives. May we surrender fully to him that he might be Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Master, Redeemer, Savior of the world, Wonderful Counselor, Bright Morning Star, Lily of the Valley, Provider. Yeah. yesterday, here'll be tomorrow, the beginning and end. But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord. Jehovah Messiah, mighty God and King, bread of life, he's the lasting word of love that I sing. Light in darkness, door to heaven, home in the sky, the fountain of living water that never shall run dry. But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord. But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord. Mary called him Jesus, but I
Will you please stand with me? You know, this is a tradition. I know many churches that take the opportunity to not only to be able to take the candle to remember the light of Christ, but to celebrate the light of Christ and remember that even though we're going to extinguish these candles this evening, we go out, if we've surrendered our hearts and our lives to Christ, the light of Christ shines in us and through us. We go out as the light of the world. But tonight as we gather around the candle to remember Christ and the significant gift of Jesus into our lives, let's just join together in singing Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born.